We're crazy for Swayze. Gonna watch everything he made. We're crazy for Swayze. Then we'll talk about it. We're crazy for Swayze. Gonna watch everything he made. We're crazy for Swayze. Then we'll talk about it.
And he's been like taking it very serious. And we've been doing this like slow intro, you know, so you can feel free to talk.
Right on.
Yeah. I want it to be real loosey-goosey so for you.
You get the mirror and we don't quite know we started just yet. Vibes going.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, did we start recording? Is this Mark Maron's podcast?
Is this happening yet?
I started listening to the Sigourney Weaver episode of Maron today because it's been like years since it came out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been like 2 years or something like that. But it was real good, and I can't wait to finish it.
He's a great interviewer.
Yeah.
He's like my favorite stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm in and out with his podcast. I got tickets coming up to him.
Yeah.
So I'll like binge.
See,
like,
I'm reversed.
14 in a row.
I love the podcast so much. I haven't stopped listening. And I don't know. The comedy didn't hit me right.
You're not into like the self-loathing.
I'm just not like a comedy guy. Yeah,
doom and gloom.
You know, I am into that. It's just like, show it to me narratively.
Oh, okay.
Is the tour that's coming around like the podcast live or is it him doing stand-up?
No, it's his stand-up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's very rarely done like the live cast. Like he'll do it at like Montreal, like Just for Laughs. Or,
okay.
Or the whatever the podcast festival thing is, but that's about it.
Yeah. I feel you. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about Mark Maron, Josh?
Yeah, I know everything. I listen to every one of his podcasts. He's got this girlfriend named Kit. He's got this weird cat and this other weird cat. He lives he lives somewhere different than he used to. He's vegan right now.
Yeah.
And he's playing at the Royal Oak Music Theater on question mark date.
Yeah, and he's smoking a lot of cigars now. I think it's a thing now, too. He's like...
Mm-hmm. And eating a lot of the nicotine gum.
You guys know so much about fucking Mark
So much
Maron.
About Mark Maron. I am so deep on Mark Maron. He temporarily had like an office and there was a controversy of a cell phone antenna directly over them that like screwed the podcast and possibly gave his whole team cancer. And that was like
a seven episode
arc.
What?
Oh, basically them having, while he was moving houses, of him basically having a temporary office under a cell phone amplifier.
That's nuts.
So, yeah, that's not.
And of course, he spins out of control. And he's like, what do I know? It could be giving everyone cancer. It could be giving me cancer. Oh,
yeah.
Podcasting. It's going to take me out just like it brought me in.
Yeah. That's why I love him, because that's like inside me. Like in my brain, any given 40 seconds is kind of focused on drumming.
Mm-hmm.
10% is in the moment of what I'm doing, and then the other 10% is, oh my god, I'm gonna die. So like that's a 60 second look into my brain.
Perfect. Everyone, this is Crazy for Swayze. I'm Vince Troia. You heard Josh Young over there, as always, recording on the ones and twos. And we have my neighbor, Sean Neal, with us today.
How's it going, everybody?
He is a filmman of sorts, right? He's a freelance filmmaker, and we felt it was appropriate to bring him in for this weird, weird movie we've got this week. Josh, do you want to tell the people what film we're watching?
Well, I was a little confused because there's so many different ones. This is the Hungarian one from 2012?
Yes.
Okay, it's called Final Cut, right? But there's like some sort of a subtitle?
Yes. This movie is called Final Cut, ladies and gentlemen, you know. That's what it, but there the Hungarian is Final Cut, Holgim is Ram.
Why would you do that?
I tried.
Why are you doing that?
What? Why am I trying to pronounce it without practicing?
You know that you're better pronouncing things. Oh, I was like, I've been trying to take it easy on you, man.
No, this movie is weird, right?
Yes.
Because this is not a traditional film. This is what they're calling a recycled movie.
Like that.
Get into the tagline right away, right? This is a film where anything can happen. The hero and heroine change their faces, ages, look, names, and so on. The only thing that stays the same is the love between a man and a woman. In an archetypical?
Close.
Archetypal.
I'm not sure that's a word.
Archetypal is correct.
Archetypal love story cut from 500 classic films from all around the world.
Wow. We gotta love archetypes.
Yeah. Archetypal. That's a crazy word too.
It is a crazy word. Yeah, it's good that you don't know it that well, because if you did, you'd be in the weird parts of the internet, not on YouTube.
I practiced that too and I still fucked it up.
Yeah. I'm gonna go for it on Scrabble. And see how I do.
See how you do?
Yeah.
You just add typal to arc, right?
Yeah. Archetypal.
I'm going to add typal to a lot of things.
Archetypal.
And see how that goes.
But yes, so this is kind of like a mixtape to my understanding. We're using someone else's poetry to tell our own story with this film. And that's why I thought you would be a wonderful guest for this, Sean.
I love that, because the idea of a mixtape, you know, High Fidelity is my favorite movie ever.
So. Okay.
I'm thinking it's going to be more of like a Mad Lib song, though.
Yeah?
That's cool.
So right, like all chopped and screwed samples from movies.
So like a road trip when I was a kid, stopping at Shoney's, like... up on the Mad Libs in the car and basically saying fart aloud a lot.
Oh, yeah. Right. Of course.
Yeah. I'm in for that. I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to be a fun one because, like I said in the description, we're cutting between characters from different films. And it being that I found a discrepancy. The description says 500 movies. I found someplace else 451.
Oh, that's it. I'm out.
I know, right?
That's 49 less than you promised, Vince.
It's a lot of clips, though. We looked at the runtime. It's 84 minutes long, and if we're clipping between 451 clips, we're going like only a few moments on each setting.
You know what? I was imagining like a Linklater type thing, some kind of like weird rotoscope bullshit. But I know it's not going to be that. It's going to be samples from different movies.
Yes. Like
Patrick Swayze better be in this shit.
See, he is listed in the cast.
Yes, I saw that, but I put the fucking theme song on. If this shit isn't Patrick Swayze.
Oh. Can I propose a bet?
Yeah, what's that?
A grid of some sort. Guessing which clip is going to be in this blind.
It's going to be Dirty Dancing.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be fucking Ghost.
Oh.
I got a hot take.
Tell me.
You ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's going to be the Blink If You Miss It cameo from the video for Toto's Rosanna.
Because Rosanna Arquette is in this as well.
Yes, she is.
That's my call.
She's not the one in that video, but she's the one that the song's about.
Jeff Porcaro, clearly coked out Steve Lukather, Swayze.
I like this. Okay, all right.
I don't know what the bet is, though. Like, what could
be? That's just what we think is going to be.
Well, someone's
right?
going to win at the end of the episode, and they'll be crowned the champion.
But yeah, I
unless it's none of them and it's next of kin.
You think it'd be next of kin?
I don't know.
Will it just Liam Neeson shooting that fucking that pinball machine?
That's a good guess. I kind of like that guess a little bit more than Rosanna.
No, Rosanna's a good one, I think.
I go Porcaro on that drummer. Yeah.
Swayze's pretty heavily featured in that video.
He is.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. No, we talked about that music video for a fucking minute,
twice.
Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's some fence climbing pirouetting from Swayze in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, this one, like I said, it's gonna be weird. We have seemingly everyone in it. I'm looking at this cast list. It's got Charlie Chaplin, Jackie Chan, Nicolas Cage, Jeff Bridges, Marlon Brando, Woody Allen, Rosanna Arquette, Javier Bardem, Kim Basinger, Henry Fonda. You know, like
we're gonna have to decide though if these people count as Swayze adjacent. If this movie counts, we're gonna have to decide.
Well, okay, so this is how I feel about this one. We've come across a few now that Swayze is in it adjacently, right? So like this
like
would
the,
be
the player.
Yeah. Like someone, well, yeah, like the player was a weird case because he was in like a deleted scene, but like this one is, it's not Swayze actually in it. Swayze's in the movie. Like the character Johnny Castle will be in the movie, not like...
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm trying to say? Is that weird?
No, if it's an image of Patrick Swayze, it counts, I think.
I think so, too.
I think if you were to go with a third party, I will allow the meta Swayze.
Yeah. Right. I feel like this is like a meta movie.
Like there's an episode of... what's that show called on HBO about Mother God? Is it called Mother God?
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze, there's like a cutout of him in the movie, and I think it counts. Well, it's a show.
Yeah, but that would count. I mean, if it wiggles a little bit, then it's technically a moving Swayze.
Right.
Wow,
right.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
This is what you're here for. You're for your expertise stiff on what qualifies breeze, a movie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I've been pitching the first episode of New Girl because she watches Dirty Dancing
in it
in the episode, and you see the lift in the episode.
I think that qualifies because that's iconic Swayze.
I know. Right. I know. So, okay. Yeah, we're getting weird with this one.
So maybe you can come up with like a ranking system of your Swayze adjacent.
Yeah, how adjacent they are, like first and second degree.
So like if you've got a cutout of Swayze,
yeah,
that's like, you know, when you do the YouTube rankings or whatever, that's your like F, right? Yeah.
F.
but if it wiggles, it's like a D, right? You know, so like,
I like that.
If there's like a breeze, yeah. It's like if someone D. walks by it and there's a little breeze, then you go to D.
Man, now we're fucking talking. Because I thought there was only two levels. There was movies that had Patrick Swayze, and there were movies that had people who knew Patrick Swayze, and then people who, the movies where there's no Patrick Swayze.
Sorry. Let's cough it. All right. I think there, ergo, your C level, you know, of this would be a not so iconic Swayze, a character viewing a not so iconic Swayze clip,
and then someone
and or reading a review of a Swayze movie, and but like your lift from Dirty Dancing, that's going to be your top level.
Yeah,
it's going to be your hero.
Yeah, you're right. It's got to be a higher ranking system.
We'll have to figure out some kind of weird ranking system, especially because like you're right.
Yeah. Things must be ranked.
Yeah, everything needs to be ranked. And there are the scenes that you think are the most Swayze. And then, like, you know, like, weren't they using Swayze in rap music as a person who would ghost you, you know, as a slang term? So, like...
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
That could be a B level. It's probably not true. It's also not a word, but yeah.
Songs that feature the name Patrick Swayze. Now, that's a fucking another level that we never even thought about.
That's a whole nother level.
Wow.
Whole nother level. Yeah. But okay, you guys.
Okay.
This movie, right? We are, it's by this guy named Gregor Palief, right? He did another movie called His Master's Voice and Free Fall and a bunch of other movies that are in Hungarian. So I'm not even going to try to pronounce them.
His Master's Voice?
Oh, please do pronounce them.
Taxidermia, Hukul, and Minidorkerork.
Minidorkerork.
The classic.
Hey, is that a... I think I saw that at IKEA yesterday.
Yeah, a Minidorkerork.
Yeah, I think I have one of those in my kitchen.
But yeah, he's done some other stuff. There's going to be a bunch of different languages. One thing I can say for sure is they did not make it all English.
So perfect.
We're going to be watching some scenes in Japanese.
Sick.
And to say specifically, Japanese, Swedish, Italian, Russian, German, Hungarian, French, Cantonese, Spanish, and English.
Sick.
It's what I found.
Are we going to get subtitles?
I don't know.
Subtitles?
I don't know.
What if the clips they're pulling from them have subtitles?
See, I don't think
they will, though. Why would they?
So this may be our first venture into just vibing it, you know? We've been talking about maybe having to do that for some foreign language stuff. So, yeah.
For the Renegades.
We may just have to vibe some of this film. So, we're going to have to look at shots. We're going to have to look at framing and composure and what came before it and all that kind of stuff. So, we're going to have to, like,
Vince, we don't have to do any of that.
You don't think so?
No.
I'm excited to get your perspective not doing any of it.
You know what's fucking me up?
What?
Just take a look behind you.
What? Oh, a mirror. Did you put a mirror there?
Just yesterday.
You want me to sit in front of it?
No, it's fine.
Make you feel better?
No, I put it there to freak me out.
Are you like watching yourself podcasting right now?
Not really. I can only see my hand.
Okay.
I like how it's got little bars on it too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. So I found this on Vimeo.
Vimeo?
Yeah. It's also
on... That's on Tubi.
It's on YouTube also. It's like an 84 minutes long. If you find it on there, it's called Final Cut, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to watch it with us, that's how we're watching it.
Is like punctuation in there? Just Final Cut, ladies and gentlemen.
Final Cut: ladies and gentlemen.
Sick.
A colon.
Yeah. It's very artistic.
Well, because like when you just search Final Cut, obviously, demos to do Final Cut, and then like the other movies and stuff like that call that. So like, yeah.
If there's like a zombie movie.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're in. But yeah, that's how we're watching it. You guys ready to watch it?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. What an odd film.
You thought it was odd?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty normal.
You thought it was normal?
Like normal.
That wasn't normal.
Guys, Josh. I'm affected.
Yeah?
In what way?
I think I've been violated with poor cinematography and story choices.
Yeah. Like, what was that?
You don't like an archetypal film? I bet Jordan Peterson loves this movie.
Yeah. I think we've had an 88-minute glimpse into Jordan Peterson's brain, honestly.
Yeah, wow. That might be what this movie's about.
Yeah.
Yeah? Josh, if you could give us a quick summary,
I'm an expert on this.
This film.
If you think I'm any good at summaries, you can find more summaries of film over at Podston Dunscast. We always do a summary of the film. A summary of this film. Boy meets girl. You know, they go on two dates, they have sex, they get married. Time passes, a baby happens, and then disappears.
Yeah.
Never to be spoken of.
Yeah.
She dumps his dumb ass. He stalks the fuck out of her. I think she stabs him. The only conflict in the movie, the first conflict, I'm sorry, is that her ex-boyfriend shows up, but that's before they get married. Then when they get married, he becomes distant, and that's the conflict. And then that immediately gets resolved, and then they find each other, and then he joins the army, and then he goes away to war, and then he comes back, and then they're in love, the end.
But, spoiler alert, you forgot about the metaphysical time travel.
Oh shit, I forgot about it was all a dream. Fuck. You're right. He goes away to war, he dies, and then it was all a dream, and then he does it all over again, except for going to war, right?
I think the first thing we have to establish is that there's a pronoun problem in this movie.
Because there's too many he's.
It's not boy meets girl, it's boys meet girls,
yeah.
Go to wars.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's only the one woman, babies. Though, right?
Yeah.
It's two guys.
No, I mean, there's the
well, there's everybody.
There's the old woman / Yoda.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're 100% right. Yeah, because it's a succession of he's meets a succession of she's.
She's meets they's.
Yeah.
In Muppets.
Yeah.
But like, that's the basic premise, right?
It's
just a boy meets girl story. Boy turns into werewolf while he's fucking her.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we going to address the bestiality? Or the I think it's the necro-bestiality?
A wolf is a were-bestiality.
It's a were-bestiality. Yeah, okay. So in this
crypto-bestiality.
There we go.
There
it is.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about wanting to fuck Bigfoot, but I've never heard anybody call it crypto-bestiality, but that's definitely what it is.
Yeah, I got to do a hot take right now. I'd fuck Bigfoot.
Would you fuck Bigfoot, Josh?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not like a casual encounters guy.
Yeah,
you know, Bigfoot's just gonna disappear into the woods afterwards.
I've always had a thing for like hippie chicks, so like it's kind of adjacent, you know.
No, I mean like given the opportunity to make sweet love to a Bigfoot, maybe. But am I gonna just like fuck a Bigfoot that I meet out by the river?
Yeah, like what if it was like soliciting you? It was like, yoo-hoo, hey, Josh. Yeah.
I'm gonna say a Bigfoot with nice Bonnaroo energy. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I gotta say. No, to Bigfoot.
Okay, that's all right,
this
man.
This is speed advance right there.
That's
why we're neighbors. You know? That's why we're neighbors.
Like, yeah, it's okay.
I mean, the fact that Vince would even question me about whether I would fuck a Bigfoot is like a testament to the kind of guys we are, you know?
Right.
Yeah, if it was chill, why not? I don't know. But yeah,
who gets to fuck a Bigfoot? I mean, it's a story you can tell your grandkids.
Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I got the big question here. We got fuck, marry, kill.
Okay. Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Abominable snowman, which is like Norwegian Bigfoot, right?
Uh-huh.
And chupacabra.
Chupacabra's outside the realm of the other big feet. I feel like there's another guy who could fit in better.
Is there another big feet? Like, is it like a Yowie?
Like, or a skunk ape?
I don't know, man.
A skunk ape is like the southern Bigfoot.
Oh.
Okay, but between the chupacabra, I wouldn't kill the chupacabra.
You would kill the chupacabra?
I think I'm going to marry Bigfoot. We could live in the woods like in Appalachia. But the abominable snowman, is the abominable snowman the same thing as a Yeti?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I think we got to cross chupacabra off the list.
Okay.
Because abominable snowman is like a more Norwegian, Nordic thing, and the Yeti is a little bit more of an Asian, like Himalayan thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
There we go.
Now
I'm still going to marry Bigfoot. Sorry.
Fuck, marry, kill, Bigfoot, abominable snowman, and Yeti.
Yeah, I could marry Bigfoot.
Yeah? Well, then, what is the abominable? I'm just thinking of the Bumble when it comes to the abominable snowman, which seems cuddly and nice. So I would want to marry that.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you too, because like yeah. They're Norwegian, and yeah. I'm here for like the Swedish meatballs and
yeah.
Dingleberry sauce, or whatever.
I'll fuck that thing.
Okay,
I'll fuck the abominable snowman. I'm gonna kill the Yeti.
We're all with napalming the Yeti, right?
Okay,
which is thematic to the film.
Yeah, based on the Vietnam and everything. This boomer-ass bullshit. Yes.
There was so much Vietnam in this movie.
I love the movies like, this is an archetypal film about being a man and a woman, and like, men go to Vietnam. It's like, no. One generation of men went to Vietnam, you know?
There's just a little bit of All Quiet on the Western Front in there,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of Kirk Douglas. So, a little smattering of...
Talk about dad stuff.
Yeah, dad issues, yeah.
I thought it was weird because, like you kind of mentioned, they used a lot of scenery over and over and over and over again, right?
Yes.
When we started the film, we watched this man get ready. So we watched six men get out of bed instead of just watching one man get out of bed and then watch someone else brush his teeth and someone else shave.
Yes. This is where I feel cinematographically violated.
Yeah. Like, this was something that I was like, oh, this is kind of jarring. Like, I get it, but it was a little jarring at first. And I don't know if that, like, ever, like, played to its strength later on in the film.
I think I have an epiphany.
Yeah.
Considering this director was clearly in self-flagellation over his Vietnam obsession,
mm-hmm.
I think the clearly 77 minutes of men waking up that we endured in the first act.
Then he wakes up again.
It's an homage to, you know, the Martin Sheen opening, you know, in the big-ass
in Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now, yeah.
Yeah.
But a very shitty version of it, ironically not using...
Yeah.
The most famous Vietnam Awakening clip.
Yeah.
Yet another missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like, it's not a Heart of Darkness film. Like, this guy gets into dark shit, but it's mostly just like peeping and stalking.
Again, mm-hmm. challenge.
But to
there was crypto bestiology.
It's just like.
And we're not even going to begin to address the comet.
Is this guy just like telling on himself, though? Like, he's like, the archetypal problems that men are dealing with are like peeping and stalking. It's like, we aren't all dealing with that, man.
No.
And like, no shame to anyone who necessarily is dealing with that as their primary problem in their life and is trying to deal mm-hmm. with it. But like, that's not what I'm dealing with.
No, I was like 0-17 on all the psychological issues that were presented.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, but I can see why they would like it at Cannes.
Cannes. At
Cannes.
Cannes.
Cannes. Con.
Cannes. They were made of
cans.
Cannes.
Again, there's... Again, Cannes. Missed opportunity.
Cannes.
There was no Shatner in this.
Yeah, okay.
It was humorless.
Yes, there was little to no humor. And of the 51 to 500 shots in this film, a lot of them were reusing the same movies,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So I'm more or less wondering, did he get access to like just someone's film room and then he just cut from those?
I think that's plausible.
Yeah.
Can we do like film industry... professional
hot
take minute?
But we love learning information here.
So, okay, in the theme of a humorless movie, let's give some humorless hot takes.
Okay.
Clearly trying to fall in the lines of fair use.
Mm-hmm.
So the length and context of each given clip is so they don't have to pay anybody.
Yes.
Hence the no dialogue either.
Right.
Because there's some...
little dialogue. Yeah, more than a line or two at a time.
I'm more of a documentary reality guy, but there is SAG stuff around if you use X number of words, whatever, a check must be produced.
There's no checks being produced from this movie, except for maybe the music.
Yes. We'll get to the mic drops.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We were going to have a conversation about great and death penalty worthy mic drops. But I think, Vince, you're on it.
Yeah.
The level of cheapness doesn't just stop at fair use and not paying SAG.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he got into like a library or two and just
found stuff that looks cool. Yeah.
Didn't move on.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff he could digitize at that given
moment. Yeah.
Because, like, I personally would have found it more artful if it was all different movies.
100%. I agree with you. I think the concept is blown once we get a repeat flag on the play.
Especially if you get one in the same scene. And I feel like we got some replays, like, of the same scenes.
Right away.
Like, it's not...
Yeah, from the jump.
Yeah, like, there was those two or three Woody Allen scenes that were all from the same, like, 10 minutes of the film.
Well, and if you're, like, going to give me Dirty Dancing, then they gave me Dirty Dancing how I wanted it. They gave it to me, they gave me the car, they gave me the dancing, and they gave me the fighting.
Yes, and it wasn't even the dancing with Jennifer Grey.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was no lake involved.
So, I mean...
So that was cool.
Yeah.
But some of the other stuff was more egregious. I don't know.
How so?
Like, I'm trying to think of something that was, like, really off-putting to me.
Can we talk about the fact that there's TV clips in it?
TV? Yeah, that was something that put me off, because TV is film. I hold TV in high regard, but if you're telling me that this movie is made up of other movies, better be made up of movies.
Then we can't have Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
But could it give us Fire Walk With Me, and you'd be fine with it? And would you know the difference between Fire Walk With Me and the TV show that was presented to you at every given time?
Confession. I would not know the difference.
I wouldn't either.
A McLaughlin is a McLaughlin is a McLaughlin to me.
But I could tell the difference between Twin Peaks and Blue Velvet.
Yes.
But like including Twin Peaks and Blue Velvet is also a flag on the play because it's like the vibe is so similar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like clearly the guy who made the movie has like a viewpoint on what he thinks is good. And it's like Tarantino and Lynch and like, you know, a few other guys that he likes.
And Dracula.
Yeah, there was so much Dracula.
I mean...
And a lot of it's like, you know, it's not just like a flag on the play, but it's like a red flag on the play.
It's a player rejection. Mm-hmm. It's a personal foul and an NFL suspension for 3 games, I think. Especially, I mean, can we do the spoiler alert?
Like,
the ending?
Of course.
Which part?
Well, the makeup comet. Orgasm followed by he's a vampire the whole time. Dracula,
he launches another star shaped load into her, and then Dracula reappears.
Yeah, I mean,
fuck. The sex in this film was something that took me by surprise. Right?
Okay, go there.
Knowing that it was an art film, I was like, okay, maybe there's going to be some sex, and it's like we even teased about it. Like, oh, I hope we get the sex from Terminator.
And we were stoked to see a dong.
Yeah,
I was prepared. I was prepared going into this for lots of sex.
Yeah,
side dong in bush.
Sure. Yeah. Full penetration, and I was not expecting.
Yeah, full penetration was not something I was expecting.
No.
Yes, you're right.
We watched a movie for this podcast as full
like
penetration. That,
but like, you know, okay, look here, we're all. Humans here, we've seen our fair share of full penetration on Pornhub. Can we all agree that the angle at which we were presented full penetration was the best shot in the movie?
It was an interesting angle.
Yeah,
it was a very interesting shot. Yeah,
I mean, again, you know, your film professional moment. There was some gaffing and grip going on to achieve that shot. I mean,
it was film.
I mean, not only that, but like there was some C stands. And clamps and like safety lines involved in getting the camera positioned at the proper place to achieve that particular angle.
It makes me think of that scene from Zack and Miri Make a Porno where he's fucking laying on his back and getting the undershot. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And oh. if that's what it was,
yeah.
then that is the best cinematographer on earth because he held that shit steady.
Yes. Yes,
there
he
was
did.
No handheld shake perceptible. Mm-hmm. And this was pre-gimbal world. So
yes.
That.
Yeah, and it was like probably some French art film or something like yeah. that as well. So yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, do you think that was union?
Maybe.
There was union gaffers and like lunch involved.
There's a craft buffet. craft services is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were serving quiche that day. I think if I were a production manager that was on the shot list and I was preparing craft services, it'd be quiche.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Josh.
What?
Did you have a favorite clip shown in this film?
Nope.
Really?
One that comes to mind. I don't know. I liked this. It's montage of the film. I liked the montage where they're in the car.
Well, yeah. No, I feel that. I didn't know if like you liked the scenes they included of The Incredibles or the scenes.
I didn't say how are you going to do that to Miss Incredible.
Yeah, I know. That's why I bring that up.
He did take personal offense.
Yeah.
I guess I called her Elastigirl, which is her proper name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't seem to have much of a reaction to the Slapsgiving festival that happened, but the minute we were mean to Elastigirl, you had a visceral reaction.
Well, listen, obviously, this guy's got some problems.
Yeah,
how's he gonna smack his bitch up? How's he gonna do that?
All right,
a lot is the answer.
Like not okay.
No,
I think the archetypal thing is that like yeah, in old movies that was more of a common thing, slapping people around and like
I know I get it, man, and it's just like to suggest that it's archetypal to again smack your bitch up.
Yeah.
No.
Like to suggest that's archetypal suggests that's within us.
You're right.
And it's like I take wrong. It as a personal
yeah. Yeah. That's wrong.
I take it yeah. as a personal affront because like that is not in me.
Yeah.
No.
You're right, but bro.
It's not in there. I am in no way advocating the slapstickle that we witnessed.
But she did.
There was lots of slapping.
And freaking bride wipe off the blood.
Oh, yeah.
And go ham on his ass right after. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's mutual combat at that point. Yeah. I understand.
Was there a stabbing? Have we established that there was a stabbing?
I thought she stabbed him.
There was some swords and daggers and stuff like that.
There was lightsabers.
I don't know if there was like knives. I don't know if I would say that there were knives particularly.
I didn't see any.
I don't know, but.
We had so many cuts of film, so I had honestly a hard time keeping track of
but
stuff.
But you know that like our brains are specifically like tuned to be like, that's a knife, that's a horse.
I mean,
come on.
Yeah, our brains are specifically tuned.
Yeah.
Everyone just sees horses and goes, that's a horse.
No. I mean, not everyone. I'm sorry. When I say our, I mean you and me. Our brains are, and like when people are dancing, we're like, they're dancing, you know?
Yeah, and then if you see a knife boot, the two of us are screaming about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
I just can't. I mean, I feel like this is a very LAPD thing to say, but I can't confirm nor deny that a knife was present.
Neither can
in
I.
In her hand.
Because it looked like she stabbed him. That's for sure.
This plausible and deniability.
If it wasn't a knife.
No, a stabbing.
Yeah, but he got up and went away to war and kept peeping.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Dude, so much peeping. So much peeping. Well, like you said, Josh, like you said, Sean, we kind of guessed in the beginning what we thought would be shown in this, right?
Yes.
And we had a little bit of an intersection of the two of you. We had Cynthia Rhodes dancing with Patrick Swayze, who also played Rosanna in the music video.
Toto. Yes, I feel like I did get a half a star for calling Rosanna.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get at least half a point, I'd say.
I think you both nailed it. That's fucking good job.
She is shared in both the music video and Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And specifically, it was the scene with her dancing in it.
Yeah. It could be said I may have cheated on that one.
What?
Giving myself two lanes of possibility.
That's okay.
I'm sticking with Toto.
I just know that Dirty Dancing is the best Patrick Swayze movie. Like, you know, I have lots of feelings about Patrick Swayze movies, but like, there is no doubt that Dirty Dancing is the best one.
Like, I think it is the most popular. It is a 10 out of 10 for me.
I mean, it's like great. Like, yeah, it's great. It's just a great film. It's not that it's like popular. It's not that it's my favorite.
Can we call it a generational trump card here?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because I am like first generation Dirty Dancing, sneaking away from middle school to see it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And at the time.
You were all about Red Dawn is what you're going to tell me, right?
No. But there was the dual controversies.
Yeah.
And I think the lore that Dirty Dancing might have with your moms or aunties.
Yeah.
That has genetically passed down to your love of the film does stem from our parents all telling us not to go see it.
Yeah.
But hot take here. Bacon trumps it with Footloose.
Whoa.
Because
that's a great movie.
The primary dual controversies, and I could be wrong about this, but the same summer of escaping and riding our bikes to Quo Vadis to go see Batman / Dirty Dancing and Footloose was that it was like the sexual tension.
Well, that's
was the thing.
That's what I think is the best about Dirty Dancing is that like there's something so sexy about it that makes you just like think that dancing is the sexiest thing on earth. Yeah. But also there's like this whole other angle about the Jewish subculture in America, right. Like making their own like entertainment industry.
That's the thing though, is like, I think our parents were slightly anti-Semitic against the thing with Dirty Dancing when the real thing was Footloose. I mean, you go to see Dirty Dancing sneak away and you come back singing Time of My Life and your mom's gonna be like, go to bed for an hour. Come back and
yeah, but Kenny Loggins
for a week,
yeah,
because that's going against Jesus. And I gotta be honest, like Footloose has it all, man. It has it all.
Like, yeah.
It's got the moves.
It's got the bacon.
It's got the better soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It's got bacon and it's got the truck powered chicken.
Yeah. I mean, so it's got everything. It's got red boots.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's got John Lithgow.
Well, I'll tell you what's better than Footloose, and that I know this for a fact. Point Break.
Point Break is better than Footloose.
Yes, yeah, okay, yeah. Yes. See, that's what I say. Point Break is my in and out, the end all be all of Swayze.
It's the best.
Yeah. But if you're gonna hold a gun to my head and be like, Sean, Dirty Dancing or Footloose, I'm skinny tie, bacon and glitter all the way, that's all I'm saying.
That bacon is so fucking cool.
So cool.
I think about that opening of the movie, like with just the close up on the feet.
The feet, yes.
Yeah, that's a way to fucking do.
Oh, and hot take, that was like a so last minute thing.
Yeah.
And if you go look at like the IMDb and the like the lore of the movie, it's like the opening originally sucked so bad with test audiences, and it's mostly like crew and whoever kind of had Boogie around.
Yeah.
They put a camera on the floor in front of a psych wall and just went for it.
Dude, that's sick. That's sick. I love that introduction.
Yeah, it's iconic.
I
think it's so cool. Iconic, right?
I think it's so cool. I think it's so cool.
So cool.
So cool. So Josh, do you want to call this a Swayze proper or a Swayze adjacent?
Well, man, Patrick Swayze is in this movie.
He is.
There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's a Swayze proper, but like we can't call all these actors Swayze adjacent. That's not possible.
I think we should be able to use them as a like a Y, as a vowel, you know? Like we can't just watch a movie with them in it.
Yes.
But if we need someone to push us over the edge and they happen to be in it also.
How are you gonna even keep track?
I've got you. Can I offer a screen time like caveat to who you can call Swayze adjacent.
Now that's fair.
All right.
The clear winner in this movie is Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke was all over this movie.
Yes.
Him and Bruce Willis.
Well, Bruce Willis just like one below Rourke.
Yeah.
You got the Laura Dern coming in as a sleeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you got like three solid references right there.
And we do love Laura Dern around here.
I love me some Laura Dern.
She makes that face.
Yeah, I think those,
watch a Star Wars.
Yeah, those three, you know, and you might even get a Johansson out of it, honestly.
And then there's lots of Jack Nicholson all over the place.
Much Nicholson.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. I think that it's not that big of a deal to use them as a potential, you know, a Swayze potential adjacent, because like some of them did have lots of screen time.
Lots.
We used this, like we said, the same clips from like 50 movies or something like that. And I don't know. I feel like it should count, but I'm not going to be like super stingy.
And I was getting faked out a lot by the Dennis Quaid appearance.
Yes.
Like, I was like, oh, sir, no, it's Quaid. No, Quaid. Mm-hmm. You know? So there's at least three or four false Swayzes.
It's the first time I've ever heard Dennis Quaid as a false Swayze, though.
Yeah?
It's the early Dennis Quaid. It was like all Firestarter, you know? That'll fool you.
I hear you. I mean, Kurt Russell's the most commonly mistaken for Swayze, I think.
I hear that.
Who did Carmel mistake for Swayze?
It was Kurt Russell. Yeah, it was Kurt Russell.
No Kurt Russell in this, I think.
Not a lick. None. Not a lick. We had a little Winona, though. I was about that.
Did we get a DeVito? Did we get a ruling on that? Was there a DeVito?
I don't think there was a DeVito.
I didn't see him if he was there. Because,
again, there was no humor.
DeVito's only humor, as we know.
Only humor. He spits
up all that black goo. He's like,
he's only humor.
I love black goo. Blah, eat a bunch for breakfast.
I'm here for it.
We had Cameron Diaz in The Mask.
Pretty prominent.
Okay, so a bunch of people have archive footage, but Leonardo DiCaprio actually does say Jack Nawson archive footage, right? So it has his character name. I wonder if that's because he was featured. Same with Michael J. Fox. He has Marty McFly. Let's see if Patrick Swayze.
He must have been peeing.
Martin.
No, Patrick Swayze is just archive footage. So I don't know how they made that decision to include those characters.
Well, we did get Swayze. We never had a one-shot of Swayze. We always had Swayze in action.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't say a line in any of them.
No.
It was just him.
Nar was a line spoken by almost anybody.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah.
Honestly, Kevin Spacey might have the most lines.
Yeah,
loves Kevin Spacey. Good for him.
Well, again, the mind of Jordan Peterson.
This
so archetypal. Your funny uncle.
Your funny, funly uncle.
Why was there so many Avatar clips?
Avatar changed everything.
We didn't
Vince.
Talk about this.
It was like 9/11, but for cinema.
Yeah, you almost lost. You almost lost me on the first frame. Yeah.
Quote me on that. Avatar is the 9/11 of cinema.
That's a bumper sticker. I love it.
Merchandise like that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Josh, I think we should put some numbers on this film.
You like numbers?
As weird as it is, I think that that's the best way to describe it. It's just a hodgepodge. It's a montage. It's a...
I counted 487 different films, Vince.
487?
That's how many I counted.
I don't give credit to Avatar or TV.
Wow.
Well, Josh, I think we should put a number on it.
That was my number, 487.
487 out
films.
Of films.
Out of 500.
Out of 500.
No, if I actually had to rate it out of 500 films, I would rate it 327 out of 500 films.
Yeah?
Yes.
327 out of 500 films.
Yeah. Ultimately... It kept just throwing me off and then pulling me back in.
You know what pulls back in?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The needle drops.
Yeah, it really is. It is all about the music.
Yeah, it really is.
Like tying everything together. It's like I was saying at the beginning. It's like this album that I've been listening to called Mad Villainy, which is a collaboration between deceased rapper MF Doom and the DJ Madlib. Just fucking rules, man. It's all about like taking. Madlib's a guy who takes a lot of samples and makes music out of samples, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's got like a huge access to samples, and so does MF Doom. And that's what this movie's like. It's just all sample based.
But not a huge access, like the sampler of the samples.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we just stuck to that. We didn't like, buy the whole library.
Yeah, they didn't buy the package.
We signed up for the 30-day free trial and then called it good.
And Jeff Rosenstock does that. And you know what? That's punk rock. 327 out of 500 films.
Well, fuck yeah, Josh.
Thanks.
Fuck yeah. I think that's a good point. The soundtrack was a cool thing in this film.
It saved me at least a half dozen times.
Yeah.
But then it killed me.
Well, how so?
Because you cannot go Rage Dion.
That was fucked up.
That was a fucking war crime right
there. I can't
believe
the movie ended with The Matrix.
Yeah?
And then into Celine Dion. That's crazy.
Yeah. Not like a... There was no crossfade. There was no caretaking to go verse chorus. Mm-hmm. It was an abrupt mid-flam into Dion. And you just can't have that.
Well, then you must put a number on it.
Yeah, Sean, how do you feel about this film?
Feel is going to be a strong emotion.
That's the only emotion we have.
Feel.
The feel.
It's the only emotion, the feel.
I feel like, unfortunately, I'm going to be affected for a while by this movie.
Yeah.
It's going to be the kind of thing where I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, is this fucking knife, not a knife?
Why are you getting edited hot? This?
Like, seriously, why is there so many establishing shots? And why do we love Dracula so much?
It's like that liminal space where you enter a room, but it's just a hallway.
Yeah. It's more hallways.
Yeah, to the next room where you walk in.
And then, again, at the end of the day, I think the thing that's going to bother me the most is within the barrage of gratuitous pubes and dongs and balls and comic cum. Because there was, he did bust a comet on her.
That
ass.
Was like,
it was the shot from Men in Black that you said,
where a
car explodes from a shooting star, and that was his cum.
That was the money shot.
But
amongst the entire montage, the thing that made me go, "Oh, he's not self-aware. There's no funny in this."
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that we did not see Tommy Wiseau's spread butt cheeks pounding from the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's just the biggest missed opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's going to bother me the most. That's where I really have strong feelings that we missed out.
Well, this guy's like another Eastern European guy. Maybe he's like, I don't trust like that. I don't trust Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, maybe he knows about Wiseau. Just like the secrets.
They're from the same planet or whatever.
They're definitely from the same film school. There's no question.
It's like, because The Room is like an archetypal film, right? Like Tommy Wiseau is like, this is how all stories are made.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man loves woman, but man loves also man. Two men love same woman. They fight. They get married. They have baby. Baby don't exist because baby bad for movie. He go to war. He fights.
We play football.
Yeah. Nice doggy.
Nice doggy. Yeah.
So I mean, like, you know, he was trying to make an archetypal film with with The Room.
There's a nice doggy in this.
Gotta have a nice doggy.
The werewolf. God, you hit it. You cracked it.
It's archetypal, you guys.
Gotta have a werewolf.
Jordan Peterson, call us. And tell us how you rate this film out of 5 stars.
Please don't call me Jordan Peterson.
No, call me.
Yeah.
At swayzepod@gmail.com.
I'm going to go with I'm not going to give it a star. I'm going to go one Pluto in a solar system.
All right.
Vince, you didn't even have to invite him to make it weird.
I didn't. We've been getting some weird ones recently. Joe recently did medium fairy out of what was the scale?
She didn't say.
Oh, it was medium out of fairy.
And
So I'm down for one Pluto out of the solar system.
The score it gets isn't even a planet. It's a planetary object.
It's an exoplanet.
It's a planetary dwarf. It's a dwarf planet or whatever it was.
A dwarf. Yeah.
Wow. I rated it too highly, I think. What do you think, Vince?
I was going to give it a 2 out of 5.
No, a 200 out of 500 films.
200 out of 500 films. Yeah, I felt like it was disjointed.
It was distracting.
Yes.
Because when you're watching something that you know, you're like, okay, so should I bring all the context to the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sometimes you should, but sometimes you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes she's crying in the tub because her boyfriend went away to war. And sometimes she's crying in the tub because her boyfriend was looking at her when she was naked but didn't want to be, you know?
You're right.
But she didn't want to be perceived.
You're 100% right, Josh.
And sometimes it's Sliver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a weird, weird movie.
I don't want to be friends with the guy who made it.
I don't either.
No.
I don't. I think that I'm happy we watched it because it was a weird look into a film I've never seen. I've never seen something like this outside of like a YouTube compilation. Like, how the this became the closing film at a Cannes festival.
Oh, but you know, everyone was sitting there in the audience and they were just like, that's me.
Yeah,
they loved it. I'm in there.
Oh, yeah, that's me. except, of course, except for DeVito, who's just cross armed and pissed.
Yeah, because he wasn't there. He wasn't even there.
Vomiting some black goo.
Yeah, it was just a weird fucking movie. And I'm like, I've never seen something like this. But
I don't know. It kind of did ultimately remind me of like a Linklater movie, though.
Yeah.
It did kind of feel like Waking Life.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Do you think that this could be just, you know, improved by like tightening it up in regards to like some of the shots, like taking some, like, because if we took out some of the repeat stuff, we could cut the screen time down probably to an hour.
I don't think less of it's the answer, gentlemen. I mean, I'm sorry. I think the only thing that can improve this film is running a high-powered magnet over the hard drive on which it lives.
I think that if the guy actually had something interesting to say, it might be a good movie. He just doesn't have anything interesting to say about what it means to be a man and like what it means to be a woman and what it means to be in love.
He has missed,
you know?
He missed all the targets. Yeah. And when he went for it with the war and the dying and the possible consequences,
the war is so out of left field.
Immediately rewinded it.
Chickened out.
Oh my God.
Took it all back. Yep.
Yeah, it means nothing. And so 327 out of 500 films is too high a rating for me. I've got to give it something closer to 243 films.
How many
217 films.
But what's the Vince Vaughn car movie thing that I've never seen an inch of screen on?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's like 11 billion. They all steal cars and jump out of planes and helicopters.
Vince Vaughn?
Not Vince Vaughn. Again.
Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel.
It's Fast and Furious. That's Fast and Furious 7 where they dive the cars out of the plane like it's Point Break, but they're cars instead of people.
Did I just Dennis Quaid Swayze with Vince Vaughn and Vin Diesel?
Yes.
I think I might need my prescription check, gentlemen.
That guy's called Van Vaught, and he is an AI creation. created Van Vaught, and that's just Vaught. Him.
I would give this as many sequels of that franchise to 500 films as exist. That would be the...
That's so fucking silly.
Fast and Furious.
There's 10.
Book lock.
So you give it 9 out of 100 films? That's not... That's
500 films.
Oh, 9 out of 500. That's not very good. that's a great rating. 9 out of 500 films is pretty low.
So this movie cost about 2 million Hungarian forints.
It's got to be 37 cents.
Forints.
What are their monies?
Forints?
Forints.
Yeah.
It's like a bag of Funyuns and a six pack of Dr. Pepper. Yeah, that's what it cost.
It came out to be in $54,200.
Not bad.
That's all sync licensing.
I was going to say
all the music. Yeah,
it sounds like it's all that shit.
Well, good for this freak.
And someone owes Tom Morello a check because he did not check in with him about whether or not that could be put up against Dion.
Right. Yeah, we've got no box office. We've got no filming locations. We've got no Ebert, right? I've already told you the recycled movie tagline from the beginning of the film, but we do have some numbers. Guess what?
What?
Everyone disagreed with our opinions.
They love it.
Letterboxd has this sitting at 3.9 out of 5. IMDb at 8 out of 10. There is no Rotten Tomatoes score, but the audience score has it at 83%. There is no Amazon score.
Because everyone's looking at the movie and they're like, that's me. I'm in it.
I think it was people just saw this and they were told it was art. So they were like, yes, this is art.
Vince is doing like a spoon feeding motion.
Yes, eat the art.
Like you're a little piggy, eat the art.
This can't be.
dude, like, what the fuck, right? I know. Right?
Vince, it's like you said, it feels like YouTube content.
This date, is this streamed exclusively on InfoWars?
Yes. Yes. That's the only way
that makes sense.
Oh, this is the truth.
See, yeah.
What you need to know is that actually we're all seated by aliens and that you can actually, I see God sometimes and he talks to me.
Yeah, I do. I think this is weird also because like it was released on YouTube, but it feels like a YouTube video.
Yeah, it's content. It's not art. It feels like content.
Yes. Like, there you go, bud.
Any what culture AI generated 10-minute YouTube time suck is better than this movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually interesting because this is basically what AI is doing, right? It chops up movies. Like if you're like, AI, give me a movie.
Wait a minute, guys. I think we can save our culture. Here's what we do.
Should I AI this?
We get a hacker. And we get AI to exclusively just point to this movie. And AI will become so enormously shitastic.
They're like, we don't understand.
It'll love Kyle MacLachlan so much.
Laura Dern.
Oh. Yeah, it just doesn't feel like art to me. I mean, they tried their best. And I think that they did a pretty good job at some points, but not always.
I mean,
they could have used more movies. I think if they had, you know what, AI could make a better movie because it would have access to more movies.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the old meme where you had like those really crappily animated Chinese ball cats that would just, you'd upload dialogue and they would talk back and forth.
Yeah.
That is better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Any like redub of the bunker scene from Downfall is better than this. Like any meme, Velociraptor.
Yeah.
Is better than this.
Yeah, this was a weird fucking movie. Does it rank high on the Swayze scale? Swayze scale. Josh?
You mean our patented Swayze rating system?
Yes. Now, Sean, I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit.
This is why I'm here.
But just as a refresher, right, we have been taking things that we find to be the most Swayze about our Swayze films and now projecting that onto everything else we watch to see how they rank, you know?
Yeah, this is honestly Neighbors and We're Cool, but this scale is what excited me about this invitation.
Every movie can be rated on our patented Swayze rating system.
Yes.
Give it to me.
Yes.
Well, it's a 10-point scale, and there's 3 bonus points, so let's just start at the top. We got athletics. This is alphabetical because this is how Vince organized my list.
Alphabetical, yes. There was athletics. There was running.
Lots of running. Yes, there was much running.
Yeah, there was lots of running.
To Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah,
it's true.
Zero originality.
Yeah, they had that scene from Rocky in here and all that kind of stuff.
There was a montage of training montages.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would call it athletics. There was some bike riding as well, but you said that bike riding is not athletic.
Well, I mean, running's hardly athletic, but I mean, okay, if you run for far enough, it's.
I'll tell you what, when you cross 50, sitting on a bike is athletic. Just throw that out there, gents.
All right, so how do you feel, Josh? You want to get this athletic?
Oh, yeah, sure, fine.
All right, what's next?
You got class stuff. None of that in this film.
I don't think so.
Money even in this movie.
No. I don't think so. I don't think there was any class really reflected in anything because we couldn't latch onto anything long enough to see if they were of a class.
No.
Right.
Imperceptible wealth. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Of any kind.
Which is how you want it in your movies. Next, we've got dad stuff. So now he made a little baby.
Yeah.
But then what happened to the baby?
I don't know.
The baby went bye-bye.
Did the baby go bye-bye or did the daddy go bye-bye or both?
I feel like both went bye-bye.
So I think them remembering that they had the baby as a plot point went bye-bye.
Yeah.
I don't know if I think the baby's fine. I just think in the writing, they like, whoopsie.
Just kind of disappeared. Baby. So can we give it dad stuff?
I think no.
Well, that's crazy. But I mean, he was definitely bad dad.
Bad dad.
We ranked dads on a rad or bad scale.
There was no.
No rad.
There were no rad dads.
No.
Yeah, it's a binary.
There was barely mullets. I mean,
there's some good mullets. I mean, but that's not. I mean, my dad had a mullet.
And he famously loves Star Wars more than you.
Fair. It's true. And the Star Wars boys also have mullets.
Yeah.
I've never had one. We've got gender expression. I mean, this movie does have something to do with like what being a man and what being a woman is, just because it's like archetypes and so rigidly defined and shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, just the
woman is object that gets fought over.
Yeah, and then cartoonishly fundamental misunderstanding of the female orgasm, followed by a cartoonishly over exacerbated representation of the male orgasm.
And how about those two guys fighting with their swords?
Yeah. There was a lot of swords.
So I would give it that gender point. That's just me personally.
Yeah, I feel like you can give it a gender point for toxic masculinity, but outside of that, I don't think...
Oh, we don't have feminism or positive masculinity.
No. Yeah.
But we can give it, like, this guy has ideas about what the fuck good man is.
The
closest thing we got to a fair representation of the female perspective is going home to cry to Grandma / Yoda.
Yeah.
Grandma Yoda was sick.
I liked Grandma Yoda.
But even then, you couldn't just give us Cicely Tyson or something. You gave us
Grandma Yoda. Yeah. Because we don't want to see an old lady. That's scary. Old ladies are scary.
This dawned on me. This movie might be racist.
Yeah?
It just occurred to you?
We had Og Lover, right?
Yeah.
But what else did we get?
I couldn't tell you another person of color in this
movie.
There
was like Japanese movies in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just, again, Jordan Peterson, Asian girls are hot.
Well, yeah.
We had Forrest Whitaker
Forrest Whitaker. Yeah. A token Whitaker.
We needed more.
We had a scene from
Ghost Dog, Ghost the Way of the Samurai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think even in the form of movies about montages about movies, the representation of the African-American acting community was sorely underrepresented.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? This guy's not American, so it's not his American racism, at least. It's Eastern European racism. And you know what? You'd think that they've heard of horses over there. Do you think?
I think they would have heard of horses, but, you know.
Apparently not in this movie.
So at one point, there was a scene from the Holy Grail, and they had the clippity-clops.
Yeah.
So I would like to submit that to horses, but if it gets rejected, I understand.
Vince, you know that coconuts are not horses. You know that.
I had to submit it.
It sounds like a horse. Did it look like a horse? Did it smell like a horse?
It sounded
like a horse. And it go, nay.
You're right. You're right, Josh. You're right.
If a motorcycle can't be a horse, which you can't.
I've been trying so hard to get motorcycles to be horses.
Horse I ride.
That's my exact point.
Yes.
Not a horse.
11 Grammys, Josh.
Listen, a motorcycle has at least 500 horses in it or some shit.
I'm just saying he ditched Sambora on a Grammy. And he called a motorcycle a horse.
This is all I'm saying is that if we let a motorcycle be a horse, then before you fucking know it, a llama's going to be a horse. A dog's going to be a horse.
No.
What?
It's a slippery slope, Vince.
That is the most Jordan Peterson thing you've said all night.
I heard today. I
appreciate that.
That Bon Jovi asked Michael Jackson to come out to party one night because they were like playing someplace or they're staying in the same hotel or something like that, right? And Michael Jackson's like, nah, I can't come party. But then he said Mr. Bubbles can come out and party. So his monkey, chimpanzee.
It's not cool. It's not cool to bring your chimpanzee out
and party. And partied with Bon Jovi.
He didn't get anywhere near Tico Torres, did he?
I'm not sure.
We gotta go back and check on the monkey.
But Bon Jovi said that it was a fun time because that monkey was smoking pot and drinking beer and just having a good time. What, you don't want to hang out with a monkey?
No.
I just
watched Nope. You know how it goes.
I'm not a big pot guy, but I think I'd smoke weed with Bubbles.
I'd smoke weed with Bon Jovi and Bubbles. Hell yeah. 100%.
Bon
Bubbles.
Okay, look.
Bubbles Jovi.
Yeah, I did get to interview Sambora in real life.
Okay.
And I understand why he was fired.
Yeah? Yeah?
Do you like fucking chimpanzees?
No, I mean, if you like that dude with his kind of dad jokes and Bon Jovi's fucking smoking down the bubbles, that's just not going to work in a van or a bus, you know, you got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just saying.
Listen, no horses.
No horses.
But we do have fighting, which is the next thing on our little scale.
Yeah.
There was fighting.
A lot.
There was the sword fighting, which is dicks.
There was war.
Well, yeah. A war. Yeah. There's nudity. We saw boobs and the full frontal.
We saw
dong.
We looked a penis in the eye.
Yeah.
We got, what do you think about?
A gold penis.
Yeah. What do you think about road trips? I mean, we did see the driving scene, but
we did see a lot of driving.
I just don't know if it counted as a road trip.
Did they go anywhere?
Remember the sweet ride, like the
sick whips is a whole separate point.
Yeah,
we did have a bunch of sick whips, but
we had those.
I don't know if we went anywhere because like we can't really. Well, like, it was too disorienting the way that they were telling the story for me to actually tell if we went anywhere.
You were right. Yeah. We had getting in cars.
Yeah,
we had adjacent to cars. We didn't drive anywhere. We just walked in stairs and hallways.
Yeah.
Yeah. We ran.
And we've also got the romance. That's the final thing because we just talked about sick whips.
There was romance.
There was romance.
I mean,
you can't. It was just a romance. It was a romantic. It was not a.
It wasn't a comedy. Maybe it was a drama.
No, I mean, there was like a little bit of giggly on the second date.
So, I guess out of. Wow, out of 10 somethings. What are the somethings, Vince? You get to decide.
10 jump cuts.
Out of 10 jump cuts, we got 6 plus 1 bonus explosion on our Swayze scale.
Wow.
The bonus point is for dancing.
Wow.
Because there's no knives that I could tell. And no. What was the other thing? What's that other? Feminism. Feminism.
But hold on a second. The only dancing was actually Swayze dancing.
Well, I mean, there was other dancing. Was intercut. I mean, it was intercut with the other dancing. They were all dancing.
There was the girl dancing in the beginning, but that was more of a performance.
Well, I just mean like when they're dancing at the club, like because their second date starts with dancing and then it goes to dinner, which is a weird order to do it in.
Strange flex with that one.
Yeah, but so it wasn't just.
What if they were worried about like shaking up their dinners and they didn't want to do it, so they went and shook up beforehand,
and then you go to the steak and shake after.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna need some carbs.
But if you like put a nice steak and a milkshake in your belly beforehand, you go and jive around, and then you're gonna be all shook up, and it's not gonna be any fun.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
you're definitely gonna be poking fabric.
See, yeah.
I think you're right.
See, well, guys, this was a weird film.
This is strange.
I'm happy you came to watch it with us, Sean.
This is good. Awful, but good.
The film was good, but the experience is always. I mean, the film was okay, but the experience is always good.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't think I would have ever watched something like this outside of this setting, right?
And that's what our podcast is for. It's for me, us better people. It's not for the people who are listening. It's for us. It's for personal enrichment.
To get us to watch these weird, weird movies that are kind of Swayze adjacent, but not really. But
Patrick Swayze was in this movie. Yeah.
Somehow gets us to watch Woody Allen.
I gotta be honest. Is this Apex Mountain for you guys on weird Swayze adjacent stuff?
I mean, it's pretty weird.
This was pretty weird. I don't know. I thought the player was weird because he was in a deleted scene.
Yeah.
But, I mean, contextually, was there a beginning, middle, and end of player that you could follow?
Oh, it's a plot.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a great movie. Yeah. I had lots of fun with that one. This was like you said, yes. Out of not being able to follow it, yes.
Yeah.
Probably
We watched this YouTube video about like Patrick Swayze like narrating how much he loves his horse. That was pretty
weird. That was sick. we also watched
here's a picture.
This live performance of
there it is.
The Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
That's pretty weird.
Where they had all the people who were on the soundtrack came in, like did a live show.
Bill Medley was there.
Yeah, Bill Medley and Eric Carmen was there.
Hungry Eyes.
And what was it, the Four Seasons or something like that?
Mm-hmm. It was pretty weird.
Yeah, they had Dirty Dancing dancers. Everyone was there except for the actual cast of the film.
You know, we also watched like Family Guy. Like, you know, it can get pretty weird over here. But yes, this is stretching the limits of the show.
This is a new one for us covering it. I'm happy.
I'm glad you decided to include me on the weirdest shit to date.
Oh, it is helpful as well because, you know, oftentimes I'm just like, this was shit. And at least this time we could all agree, this was not the best.
Yeah. I feel like we've articulated why it's shit
to
a satisfying degree, too.
Because, like, it was an experiment, and they took a big swing, and that's why I'm not going to be like,
did
it's
they
the worst.
Did they take a big swing?
No, they didn't.
They took a lazy swing.
Yeah, you're right. He needed more films to take a big swing. Yeah, yeah.
I would much rather watch a Vine compilation, to be fucking honest with you.
Yeah, seriously.
It's freaking bats.
Yeah, I would much rather watch a Vine compilation.
Oh, and how about the one where he's like, you almost made me drop my, what is it? That he almost made him drop.
What?
On Vine. He's like, oh, you almost made me drop my, I don't know what it is, croissant or something.
My croissant, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Sorry, we used to watch Vines all the time.
You nailed it.
Oh, happy birthday, Raven, it says in the sand. And she says, I can't swim.
Yeah. Yes, yes, Josh, yes.
Gosh, Vine was genius. It really was.
We didn't need videos to be longer than six seconds.
Vine was genius.
Yeah, it was once Vine went downhill, then that's when King Batch was like, I'm going to start acting. Yeah. And that just was not a good idea.
Acting.
Yeah.
Acting!
Jesus, take the wheel. I mean, that was just perfect cinema right there.
I agree.
So thank you for helping us, because, you know, we could have just been like, what is this? And you're like, no. This is film bad, not just regular bad.
It's all bad. It's film bad. It's race bad. It's culture bad. It's feminism bad. It's misogyny bad. It's...
That's six fingers up.
That's all of the bads.
Tom Morello, if he catches wind of this, and I'm sure he is a listener, there's going to be some splaining to do. Like, Rage might get back together. To
Rage Against this Machine.
Yeah, it's Rage Against this Machine. Yes. Yes,
Rage
yes,
Against
yes.
the Final Cut.
And you know who's going to face the consequences? Laura Dern, probably.
Yeah, Laura Dern's going to she's going to take a stray on this one, unfortunately.
Well, yes. If you want to write in to talk about this film, please do. You know, we've got an email at swayzepod@gmail.com. We're on Letterboxd. Josh is at Joshua CY. I'm at Vincent Troya. We have social media. We're all at SwayzePod. I've got a Reddit set up, but I don't know how to use it at rSwayzePod. Did you make a TikTok for us?
It's at SwayzePod, but I haven't posted anything. But there's the Patreon.
There is a Patreon.
It's patreon.com/nooneworkhere, which is not the same as Swayze Pod. It's just everything, because we're not always Swayze. We do other stuff.
Josh, tell them what we do.
For example, I have Pods and Dunscast, but that's free. But there's bonus episodes for Pods and Dunscast over at No One Work Here, theoretically, by now. And there's also Pod of Lovecast, which is the Brett Michaels podcast. It's about Rock of Love, and Vince is there, but goddamn, it's hard to get enough episodes to make it work. It's happening.
It's slowly but surely.
There's also the one about Lord of the Rings that you mentioned weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like first on my list.
Cool. I'm scared for that one, because we recorded that before we actually knew what we were doing. Like,
that's the good stuff. No, that's cool.
Yeah?
You need to make a new theme song for it, though.
I need to come up with a Lord of the Rings theme song.
It's either that or I'm going to use Game of Thrones.
Why would you use Game of Thrones?
It's like Lord of the Rings, but better.
Yeah, I tell you, I'd be excited for that podcast, because that's like the garage days of your Metallica anthology.
Yeah.
And I think
going
it's going to be
back to the
it's just me talking about Sean Bean dying.
I think it's going to be worth $5 a month.
Yeah.
Or even just $5 one time. Just listen to it. It'll be the first thing there. And then probably some shit about a, I don't know, vampire ballerina. I don't know.
Something goofy. Sean, do you have anything you'd like to promote?
Not so much promote. I mean, if you want to see the stuff I do every day to get paid, you can watch like Bargain Block on HGTV or 90 Day Fiancé. Oh my God. But
big fan of 90 Day Fiancé.
I got NDAs I can't break.
But we
could be here for another while. But you know, I gotta say, here's two things. Probably like to date that's out there, my most proud achievement is the Cream Magazine documentary.
Yeah.
So Cream, the story of Cream Magazine. I think you can find it on Amazon Prime right now.
Okay.
And then Cream Magazine is back.
Yes, it
and
is.
You can subscribe and you can get the merch and you can get the magazines, and that's, you know, the Cream family, that's my people.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, and publication is back. So check out the documentary, check out Cream Magazine, subscribe, get your merch. And then I'm going to promote someone that I helped get started that has the most heartfelt, everything we've talked about now, I want you to erase, 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 wipe, 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 wipe.
Etch a sketch.
And if you are a music fan and a person that doesn't know their father or maybe misunderstood their father, you have to check out a film that's making the festival circuit right now called Resonator.
Okay.
And it's R-E-S-Y-Nader. And it's a film by Allison Tavel, who the log line on it is she works in the music industry. She works for Grace Potter and Beck, and her husband's the drummer for Train and other things. And, you know, she'd go on tour with these guys, and they'd say, hey, Allison, tell us about your father. And she's like, well, I didn't know him. He died when I was a few days old, but he invented the synthesizer. And they'd be like, record scratch, stop. What do you mean he invented the synthesizer? And she's like, I actually don't know. Mm-hmm. So this film is the journey of her discovering her father by reassembling this device called the Resonator and meeting the engineers that helped her father build it. And it is truly a revolutionary machine that did transform how we capture sound and transform sound. And not so much a spoiler alert, but all roads end with Peter Gabriel.
Hell yeah.
Sitting down with her and telling her how special her father is. And then the instrument lives and makes music with some of your favorite musicians now. And it is honestly the absolute sweetest movie ever. It's currently 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It debuted at South By. And if you're in Michigan, I don't know the exact details, but it's going to be showing at Cinetopia in Ann Arbor in June.
So hell yeah.
It's out there in the circuits now. You can go see the trailer on YouTube. But
without synthesizers, there'd be no Crazy for Swayze.
Yeah.
Because there'd be no Muscle Baby, and there would be no Patrick Swayze.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
So I will use my platform to promote Allison's wonderful movie.
Hell yeah.
And it's joyful. I had a small part in helping it get started, but it's all her. It's her story, and it's absolutely fantastic, and I'm very proud of her.
That's great. Hell yeah. We'll have to check out that movie. And our friend Geraldine Jordan, she wrote an article or two for Cream Now, too. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, Cream is
coming
thing,
back. I'm happy people are working them.
The film is great. It's my fam. We had a lot of fun making that.
Good.
And did a lot of things.
Good. We'll have to watch them. Well, dude, thanks for coming on to this.
No problem.
This has been
lots
of fucking fun. Yeah.
We're crazy for Swayze. Gonna watch everything he made. We're crazy for Swayze. Then we'll talk about it. We're crazy for Swayze. Gonna watch everything he made. We're crazy for Swayze. Then we'll talk about it.
Yes.
Oh my God.